the Lord to continue to do a mighty work here. He's faithful. He's going to finish what he started. And that's what we need to, you know, we just sung, you know, God's promises are yes and amen, right? Do you believe that? Yeah. And so it's not for nothing that we've come together. I know I've been ministered to. I have been thoroughly blessed by just gathering together, praying with each other, praying for each other, you know, and that has been truly a blessing. And so, you know, this evening we're going to close, of course, the final thing that we're going to do is we're going to break the fast. And we get to sit here for a few hours and just smell all that food. Yeah. No, it won't be a few hours. Maybe we continue in prayer and the Lord saying, wait, remember I said that? Maybe saying, wait, no. No, we get to conclude in a special way, and this always is a special night that we gather together. So I just want to give special thanks to Modesto for just putting it all together, and you know, he spent a lot of prayer over this week, well in advance, some time ago, and so consider him. Here's the thing, I want to share this with you. This is not for Modesto, so relax, Modesto. But this is what the Word tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul, in his closing words to the Corinthians, he said, now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refresh my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. We are to prefer one another. That is what the Word tells us, that there are those special brothers and sisters that you have to your left and to your right that are all around you, a lot of them that are not here right now, but we should pay special attention as even the Apostle Paul did. And that's going to be part of what I go over this evening to close out our week of prayer and fasting. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up to Colossians chapter 3 is where we're going to be at. Colossians chapter 3. Now, you don't have to make yourself known, but whoever has been fasting the whole week, just water. I don't know about you, but my sense of smell is amazing. I feel like Ratatouille. Just I know all the ingredients in every single one of those dishes and meals that you have back there. Today, when Bettina was preparing the food for this evening, I knew when she was putting in the different ingredients. Wild, right? Like, oh, you just put in this, and she goes, yeah. She looked at me kind of odd, and then Isaiah, oh man, he made this pizza in the oven. So I was like, what is happening here? This is like, right? At the same time, I was thinking, the denial of the flesh for just one week is nothing compared to what the Lord denied in going to the cross for you and I. Nothing. This is nothing. It just gives us a glimpse of what it means to bring under subjection the body, the flesh, and pay attention to the still small voice drawing closer to him, and enter into the throne room of God and see and taste how good the Lord is. It's just been an amazing week. So you're at Colossians chapter 3, right? We're going to read verses 12 through 17. 12 through 17. The Apostle Paul writes to the believers in Colossae. He says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Lord, indeed, we give you thanks. Through our Redeemer, our Savior, our Intercessor, Jesus Christ. Because it is by his torn body, the shedding of his blood, that we are able to enter into your presence and petition you directly. There is no one else. Jesus gave us the ability as your children to come to you. So we come to you with thankful hearts, gratitude deep down inside, Lord, a joy that is inexpressible for the salvation that we have come to know. And I pray, Lord, that that salvation would compel us to bless you, desiring to honor you, to serve you, and in so doing, love and bless and honor each other. So we commit this time to you, Lord. We ask your blessing and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the fruits of a heart of gratitude, they have been explained very well throughout this entire week. Every evening of this week, we have had excellent teaching. Excellent teaching. I am blessed as your pastor to see my brothers and fellow servants equipped, able, and anointed to teach as well as they did. Let me tell you this, they are a blessing to the whole body and specifically right here to Refuge. In fact, I was reminded of this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This was on display this week. The discipleship of people is always the work that we are to give ourselves to, and we have given ourselves to fulfill God's will, and for many people to know the joy of walking in step with Jesus Christ. And in so doing, to be a blessing to him while we walk together, the brethren, in unity. Knowing this is true of our fellowship, I'm grateful to God for that when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. As we read through Colossians and I took you to Ephesians chapter 4, what we're seeing is the two come together, and one is an actual display of what was explained in Ephesians chapter 4. It expresses that. It exemplifies it. Paul in Colossians, or to the Colossians, he tells them and us today to clothe ourselves, to put on certain things. And it's a picture of being clothed. And this is something that for us we need to be deliberate in. You know, we were deliberate when we changed from our PJs into our clothes that we were going to wear throughout the day. We're intentional. We do it. It's our own action. Yeah, we take it upon us to do those things in the same way. You need to think about these things. They're not just going to jump on you. They're not just going to become a part of you because you are close to somebody who is compassionate or kind or humble. But Paul writes to the Colossians, and this is what he says: clothe yourselves with compassionate hearts, with kindness, with humility, with meekness, and with patience. We need to be conscientious about that. We're also told to bear with one another and to forgive each other. Those are two things that are very difficult to do if we do not have the Spirit leading us and empowering us to do those things. To bear with one another and to forgive one another. Oftentimes we want our own way. And if we don't get our own way, well, things can turn really ugly. And even less bear with one another. If we're not willing to bear with one another, we're not going to forgive one another. Bearing with one another is not just putting up, it's not just tolerating. It's coming alongside, rolling up our sleeves, and engaging to help someone come along, and even forgiving them if you need to. And most importantly, he said to put on love, because it binds everything together in harmony. Harmony, when it is truly harmony, is absolutely beautiful. Not just to the ear, but it's like you hear a harmony, it's just like, man, it's just deep down in your soul. It's just a wonderful sound. And in the ear of the Lord, can you imagine him leaning over and seeing all this come together? The Apostle Paul is saying, this is what it looks like when you put on love, when this is all wrapped up in love. Oh, in the ears of the Lord, it's a beautiful harmony. A glimpse of this harmony is seen in 1 Corinthians 16, where Paul is calling on the Corinthians to put together a collection for the church in Jerusalem. They're in need. Just as he had asked the church in Galatia, he told them, I asked the church in Galatia, they're doing it. You do the same thing. And he explained what his travel plans were. This is a close relationship that we see here. I want to let you know that these are my travel plans and the things that the Spirit is doing in my ministry. He encouraged them to receive and help Timothy when he comes to them, spoke highly of the household of Stephanas in Achaia and their service, and how the churches in Asia send their greetings. And there are two, that is Prissa and Aquila, that send their greetings personally. This sounds like a tight church, a church that knows what's going on with each other. This is what Paul is leading them in. Not a perfect church, but it does look like the peace of Christ is ruling in their hearts and acting like, and they are acting like one body unified in the Spirit in Christ. This is what we see in Paul's letter to the Colossians. This is what a church is when the word of Christ dwells in them richly. You don't have to strive for that. That is just who you are. When teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. By the way, thankfulness shows up 3 times. When all of this is part of the makeup of the culture of the church, again, it's just who you are. You do what you do because it's just who you are. It's who you are in Christ. All of this screams gratitude. Paul was a grateful man. Remember, he forsook all to follow Christ. He expected nothing. He did ask for God to remove his thorn, but you know that God said no. Why? Because it humbled him, lest he become conceited. Arrogance, pride, conceit is ugly. Within the church, even uglier. The Apostle Paul was told no, and it's for a reason. I've asked you this before. Are you so grateful with your salvation that if you received no's for the rest of your life, is that okay with you? That's a tough question to answer. And if you were to say, well, I'm working on that. I'm not always there, but I desire to be. You know what it requires? It requires you to surrender. You and I. Surrender completely. Give yourself and entrust your whole self to the Lord. That comes from a heart of gratitude. A heart that is satisfied in the Lord. A heart that is content with salvation alone. Genuine gratitude for the forgiveness of our sins, for God's mercy in our everyday living produces, we went over this, a changed, humbled, surrendered, sacrificial, servant, compassionate, honoring, adoring, and a worshipful heart toward God. And that will reflect in your conduct toward others. When you have the vertical in a right standing, when you have that relationship right, your horizontal or your relational, your relationships will fall into place. But you got to get that right first. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks to God, giving thanks to God, right? So in the process, whatever you're doing, you're going to speak. Think twice about what you're going to say. Be slow to speak. Be quick to hear, right? Quick to listen. Whatever you're going to say, whatever you're going to do, do everything as a representative of Jesus Christ. And in so doing, you'll be giving thanks to God the Father through him. So ask yourself this question. Do you have a heart of gratitude toward God? With everything that we've gone over this week, do you have a genuine heart of gratitude toward God? Is that what's being expressed? In full surrender and trust in Christ. Ezekiel 36:26, and this is the theme under which everything came about this week. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. a new tender heart. And his indwelling spirit can only be known in Christ. Is he the one who is ruling your heart? That's another way of asking the same question. Is he the one who is ruling your heart? Perhaps even this evening, we've gone through this whole week. You're still not in the right place with the Lord. There's something you're holding on to. Whether it's doubt or bitterness or the things you've been asking the Lord, just perhaps, I don't know if he's saying no or not now. And you're just not willing to let that go. We need to be a people here who are prepared to walk through Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 with others that come through those doors. I never desire for this church to be kind of just superficial, you know? But one that ministers to one another. One that is thoroughly equipped. And you cannot be thoroughly equipped if you're still holding back and not giving yourself fully to the Lord, not in full surrender. Perhaps that's you this evening. Perhaps the very work that the Lord wanted to do in your heart is to have it in its entirety. Not just outwardly, not just duty, but just completely sacrificed unto him. Are you there? Because if that is true of you, no matter what, and this is what we learned, Eric taught on this, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves, it's not about fleeting happiness, but it's about an enduring and eternal joy that we find in Christ that we can possess and that we should express even in the midst of the most darkest and difficult trials. If Christ is ruling in your heart completely, you'll have a heart of gratitude. I'm going to pray for us. And then after I do, I'm just going to ask, if anyone needs to surrender whatever to the Lord, you don't have to say, but just stand to your feet. This is just a humble confession before the Lord. There's something in my life that I want to just give over to the Lord. I don't want to hold on to that. I don't want to be doubtful. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be resentful. I don't want any of those things. I want to be a vessel. I want to be a child of God who is in complete surrender to the Lord, expressing a heart of gratitude filled with joy, filled with hope, filled with purpose in the Lord. And that you would just stand up. And it's just an acknowledgement. That's all that is. Remain standing. And we're going to pray for each other. Okay? So I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your salvation. And yes, Lord, just as the thief on the cross, it was the end of his life. And yet he experienced the fullness of your glory. He experienced the fullness of your forgiveness in the moment he acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Oh, how wonderful that is. Father, I pray that we would reflect the same heart of gratitude that John did, that Paul, James, Philip, Stephen, Peter, many others, Lord, express the same heart of gratitude. There is no way that someone can be singing hymns and psalms and praying because they have been wrongly accused, thrown into jail, and are in chains outside of knowing salvation. Oh, Lord, we should fear no one, nothing, no one that can claim the flesh but have no authority over our souls, our very spirit. May we express the same kind of gratitude as we see exemplified throughout Scripture. May we have the joy of the Lord. And so, Father, right now, Lord, I ask that you would move in each heart, Lord. If there's something that needs to be surrendered to you right now, Lord, may my brothers and sisters be moved, Lord, to agree with you, to confess that to you, and Lord, give us the opportunity to pray for each other. So I'm going to ask you, if there's anything, stand to your feet and allow your brothers and sisters to your left and to your right to just pray for you. You don't have to say anything, nothing specific, but anything that you need to surrender to the Lord, that's something that's perhaps holding you back, hindering even your prayers, sometimes hindering your relationship with the Lord, your maturing in the Lord. I'm going to remind you of this. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." For anyone who understands that, what he's saying and what Scripture is saying, this is God breathed. This is God's word, right? Paul says, "I have not yet obtained." I'm going to step down because I need that prayer too. So you can pray for each other. And then from there, we're going to go into a time of, so Stephen and I are going to be up here. And as the Lord leads, as he stirs your heart, I would ask that you would come up and allow us to pray with you and for you, for whatever it is that you ask us to, as the your pastor and as your elder. This is one thing that we want to serve you with, and that is just praying for you in the name of the Lord. It's powerful. But right now, we're going to pray for each other.